Come get on the train.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Pippin' ain't easy.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Buffoons Podcast. My name is Tanner, and, you know, it's our first podcast here, and I like to hit a few topics, start the weekend off. You know, we're going into Friday. Hallelujah, tell you what. So, yeah, let's jump into it here. So, first topic here, you know, college football, right? We didn't sound like there's going to be much games played out of our major conferences. Disappointment, for sure. Big Ten, for ACC, it's, you know, just not sounding like they're wanting to get a schedule going or anything. I'd say the biggest thing for me that drives me nuts is the players are being hit instead of the actual colleges, right? So if you think about it, they're really protesting not over the virus, but they're protesting over the amount of money they're going to lose each for this year alone. SEC, Big 12, they really got it going on. Big 12 is actually allowing some fans in. K-State, for instance, is allowing 25% capacity. Great. I love it. I love it. You know, let's continue to build that, but not having fans shouldn't be the end of a football season. You should be able to control your football team on the college campus and still get a great education. Yes, they are student athletes, right? So let's hit some numbers real quick, right? So I looked up on Forbes. I wanted to just check out the, you know, what's the profit they've been making, right? So 3-year average for Big Ten alone, right? Big Ten for the last three years, they had 7 teams in the top 25, right? So you had Badgers, Michigan State, Iowa, Nebraska, Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. In the top 5 alone, you had Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan. Ohio State was $75 million, and Michigan with $83 million, and that is profit in a 3-year average. That's an average profit. You can't be telling me that we're talking money here, right? Like, the player safety is one thing, but you know this is all about money and getting fans in the stand. ACC, right? Clemson, the Alabama killer, SEC killer, we could really say. They were $27 million profit, number 25 on the list after so many successful years for the last past 5 years. And then Florida State with $40 million. You know, this was popularity due to past and everything like that. The only other one I had really written down here was SEC, right? They're the NFL conference, as everybody claims. So SEC actually had 11 teams, the most teams on top of the Forbes list, right? So their number 24 was $43 million. $43 million, 3 years average profit for Mississippi. These guys, I have not heard anybody really saying they're allowing fans yet, but they're in the South. I'm not going to be surprised if they're going to go 25 to maybe 50% capacity. If not, just ignore it all. You know, your number one is actually Texas A&M with $94 million profit in 3-year average. That is ridiculous. You gotta be allowed to play football here. I mean, just think of the TV deals these guys are going to make on it. The biggest issue I have right now, the way college sports are presenting, is the way they're acting on player safety is not correct. Player safety, a lot of these guys take football in college as a mental health. Like, it's healthy for their mental, not just physically. It's another home for them. It's a meal that they get. It's people to be around. You can't take that away. That's the best part about playing on a team. If you played on teams through Little League, high school, college, that's what you do. Adult softball, right? You love the guys you're around or love the people you're around. So this is them closing or stopping Big Ten, especially. There's no way that you allow money to come into play in this. Most likely, that's what it's the case. But you figure out player safety. You know, you lose 1 year of profits. You're not going to get, it's not going to hurt you. Just think how big of a, all your TV revenue for this year, and on top of having fans, right? Fans in the 21-22 season. You're going to have such a spike because everybody missed it and took it for granted. That is huge just to think about, just a big number base. I feel for the players. I hate it for the players. You know, speaking even locally here, we actually have a few high school guys that have decided to move out of state. You're leaving family and friends in your senior year of high school to move out of state so you can play football. A couple of them went to Iowa, one of them went to Oklahoma that I know about, and these are all big star, you know, big time college recruits coming up, and Kansas shut down high school football. And in your senior year, you have to get up to, if you want to play football, and if you're being recruited that hard, you have to actually go out and move out of state. How ridiculous is that? So it's sad. It's sad when it comes to C. Yes, they do it for player safety, but you should be able to make it happen for player safety. This is a team game. These guys are happy to be around each other. There has to be something better. Has to be something better done. Especially with the money that they make, that they bring in, you have to be able to take care of them. Take care of them. Let them play ball. I want to see football. Everybody wants to see football. But most importantly, is these players are reaching out through Twitter saying they want to play football. I still come back. I think it's pure profit. Is why they're not playing in the Big Ten. They're afraid that it's lose 1 year of great revenue. And TV deals apparently aren't going to cut it. It's a sad thing to see, but that's, you know, unfortunately that's how it goes here. Alright, so we transition and right into Major League Baseball. Who doesn't love baseball, right? So I was thinking, I want to talk some baseball, but I don't want to just talk about wins, stats, and everything. I want to, you know, let's get a good topic, right? How about a potential World Series upset that could possibly get there that may not be in everybody's radar? How about the most exciting team in baseball right now? It's the San Diego Padres, right? They had 5 grand slams in 6 days. They had breaking the rules, right? So they were swinging on the 0-3 pitch. You had Tatis stealing third. And to end the game, you know, right? Like, you were down 2 runs and you steal third to end the game. Great. You know, I'm not complaining. I loved it. I loved everything about it. They're an exciting team. Thursday night, and one of their doubleheaders, they came from a 5-run deficit and won it in the bottom of the 9th. How exciting is that? They lost the second game, but man, there's just a lot of good baseball being played out of that team right now. They are 19-14. I mean, you got the Dodgers, right? Dodgers haven't even hit double-digit losses yet. It's crazy how well they're playing. But you have the Padres sitting at 19-14. They're going to have a chance to really run that wild card. I think they'll really like to go far in the wild card division. I think they could be the troubled team. I mean, look at the way the Royals were, right? When the Royals took the World Series, they were a troubled team. They didn't have the greatest record in baseball, but man, they were an exciting team then. Stealing bases, hell, the 15 World Series, right? We were hitting people. We were the bad boys in baseball. That's why I feel the Padres are right now. They're the bad boys in baseball. I mean, Joe Kelly's the bad guy for sure because he's the best thing around. Still, free Joe Kelly. But Padres are exciting. They're energetic. They move. I'm really, really excited to keep watching these guys and see what happens as we get closer to playoffs in the short season. You know, they got a few guys that carry them. Of course, you got Machado. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the signing. I wasn't a huge fan of the guy. But, you know, he's a .673 slugging percentage right now. He's got 10 homers, which is second on the team. 26 rubies, second on the team. You know, you got a couple of guys with slugging percentage that are pretty high. Cronesworth, actually shortstop, has a .602 slugging. And he has 29 hits, so he's hitting the ball. I think he has a double-digit multiple or getting doubles and triples, so I'm pretty excited for him. And then, of course, you got the troublemaker of the team, Fernando Tatis Jr. Makes these ridiculous plays. I saw him the other night run from, I think he was shortstop, and he ran practically into left center on the foul line. Or left field on the foul line, almost center of the outfield to get a ball. And he caught it, of course, no problem. The guy's quick, he's fast, he's aggressive, is what I love about it. You know, he's a 3-0 pitch, right? He was the one who hit that bomb. It was the greatest thing in the world. It's, you know, start of the grand slam. Let's keep going. I love it. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. When I coached my kids for a rec league ball, and even my third grade team I did, I told them, just swing the bat. Just swing the bat. I don't care what the count is. Just swing the bat. Best thing in the world. I love it. Just seeing the aggressiveness, and this hopefully that helps translate to some of these younger guys that are coming up playing ball. You know, just swing the bat. Have fun. Be energetic. Want the ball. He really shows a great example around that. But, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr., you know, he has a .302 average. He has 13 home runs. He leads his team. 30 rubies, 38 hits. You know, he's breaking all the rules, the unwritten rules. You know, stealing that permission. He's having fun. You can tell the guy's having fun. You know, again, the Padres, I see them really breaking out as we get closer. As long as they continue this energetic movement and momentum going, I really see them going pretty deep. It's exciting. It's fun baseball. So I really encourage you guys to watch them as baseball progresses. All right. Finally here, guys. We're gonna talk NFL because it's fantasy season. Who doesn't love some fantasy? So Mike talked about Phillip Rivers, Colts, great situation that he went into now, if not a way better situation than he was in San Diego. You know, San Diego was, I mean, or L.A. Chargers, whatever. They were always hurt. Everybody was hurt. Their linemen were hurt. So Mike had some great points on that last podcast. Check it out if you have not checked it out yet. My fantasy value, he may not be a full starter for you. A guy you would get very late, if not in free agency. But David Jones with the New York Giants quarterback. He doesn't have the pressure with Eli in the background anymore. Eli's gone. New head coach, right? Joe Judge coming in. Wide receivers coach for the Patriots coming in. He's going to really vamp up this offense. And then vamp up the offense. You have Jason Garrett for the Cowboys coming in as well. And that guy, he can play off. He has offensive plays. He was calling a lot of the plays in Dallas for a long, long time. Former quarterback. And it's some exciting football for David Jones to have. A lot of insight, new coaches that will help him build. You know, with David Jones, he, according to Jordan Rannan of ESPN, Jones put on 8 to 9 pounds of pure muscle. He's sitting at 229 right now, and he's also the strongest. He says it's the strongest he's ever been, which is great. I mean, he came from a great college program, so to be able to even build more on top of that, it's going to be great. His decisiveness was, I mean, he actually wasn't bad for a rookie. I just felt like he had a lot of pressure. He didn't have a head coach that trusted him as well, with the Eli bouncing back. I mean, you had Eli in the background. He should be a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, but it's, you know, that's tough. But he's got some Derek Dillon rookie, right? Nice wide receiver coming in. Golden Tate's going to be healthy. You still got Saquon. Another one is Evan Engram. His ability to get open, catch the ball as long as he's healthy. Sounds like he is. He's looking pretty hot, and he's going to be rolling. We're getting rid of those catches and maybe back to his old fantasy value self too. Their line's actually improved. Yes, they lost a few people that opted out of the coronavirus, but yeah, Andrew Thomas from Georgia, who's the number four pick, he'll be playing the left tackle as of right now. Pretty excited for that. And of course, you had Will Hernandez coming back at left guard. The guy played all 16 games last year. He had 4 penalties allowed and 2 sacks allowed. Yeah, I like that guy protecting Patrick Mahomes if that's possible. So, but, you know, it's David Jones. I'd watch out for him. He's going to be one of your late guys, if not a free agent pickup that you might need later in the season, you know, maybe due to coronavirus positive. He's going to have some more weapons. He's going to have better play calling, I believe, this year, and definitely a better line to protect him so he, you know, doesn't get wrecked the entire time. So keep an eye out for those guys, Golden Tate, Derek Dillon, Evan Engram, Barkley, of course, and Mr. David Jones with the New York Giants. So, well, I'm going to wrap it up, guys. We really hit a little bit of everything today. So we talked about college ball. We talked about some MLB, some surprising with the Padres. And then the fantasy value, it's David Jones, some NFL. So we will work on trying to get a mock draft podcast going with the other two, Mike and Jason. It will be exciting. We will tweet it. We will also start putting these on YouTube as well. So we are on all major podcast sites, just not Apple yet. But if you want to check us out, twitter.com/sportsbuffoons. You can always see us there. We'll update when we are going live with the video or when we do release one, or even podcast. You will see those tweets, so make sure your notifications on. But other than that, guys, have a great weekend. If you don't hear from us, just know that NFL starts very, very soon. All right, guys, peace.
If it ain't easy.